Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Erica Dela Cruz, your host for today's show, Women Lead Radio, Boss Babes, going behind the scenes of entertainment. With me today is our lovely leading lady, Emmy Award-winning actress turned director. Please welcome to the show, Miss Katie McClain. Good morning,
Hello.
Katie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I love kicking off our Mondays and our week with amazing and fabulous, interesting guests. And you are my absolute favorite for the month because you've actually directed and put together a film in this genre, in this new world of really giving women a voice, not only through the eyes of media or, you know, whatever society is saying, but through the eyes of another woman like ourselves. So you have just directed a series coming out called Seeing is Believing, Women Direct. Tell us a little bit about that.
Seeing is Believing, Women Direct is a, right now it's a three-part series. It keeps changing, it keeps evolving because the process
right.
of editing has been quite extensive. I started out about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now, interviewing women directors, usually just by myself. I worked the camera, I did the lights, I did the sound, and it has grown to 70 women that I've spoken to, and I'm putting together this project and this series in order for other women to have access to not only just mentorship and insights into the process, but examples that they can look to for successful leadership and for successful communication, things that they can find, tools that they can use to be better leaders and business people themselves.
I love this. So sometimes on the show, we will have millennials on who are exploring connection through interview. They're going and interviewing mentors and things like that. And really what I'm about is this whole self-made millennial movement and in doing so empowering girl bosses and boss babes to grow up with this new reality. So what was your motivation? Like, what was the tipping point between going maybe with your camera and your equipment and interviewing these directors to saying, I want to put them on a larger platform? I'd like to create some sort of series around these women.
Well, I started out as an actress, as you know, and when I was very young, my mom showed me a copy of Newsweek magazine. This was in the 80s. I think I was about 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and in the article, and I still have a copy of this article, it says women have a more chance of getting killed by a terrorist over 40 than they do of getting married. And
wow.
This was her advice. Her advice to me was to make the most of your youth, because once you hit a certain age, you have no value in the culture anymore. And so I lived my life to some degree based on that advice, which was terrible advice and horrifying advice. But when I got over 40 is when I started filmmaking, and I started getting behind the camera in order to tell stories. And I discovered at the film festivals that there was not a lot of representation by women as directors at these festivals,
right.
And the women that were there were often considered that they were either the producers, maybe the writers, but for God's sake, no, they were not possibly, couldn't possibly have been the director, you know?
Right. Yeah,
and so
exactly.
I began to wonder, like, what is this resistance to women in this role? And I just got it just got under my skin. I was like, I really love directing. This is natural for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love this leading this group doesn't feel like something that is out of reach because I happen to be a woman. And I realized through the process that being female is almost like being considered that you have a disability.
Right. Yeah, you're at a deficit somehow.
Somehow you have this deficit that you have to overcome in order to convince other people to listen to you. And that is something that has been grown and, you know, nurtured and encouraged over many years in certainly in American culture, and I think other cultures as well. And I thought, you know what, it's high time. I just smelled it in the wind. There are these young people coming up who have no issues about this, young, strong women who are like, why should I back down or why should I not be the leader? And I just wanted to push that forward with everything that I had, because I do think that there are some incredibly creative voices, female voices out there that should be heard, and that it will make a better culture for everyone if we can understand how we can communicate, how we can work together better, and if we can just change this mistaken concept that women are not capable of being leaders.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that's such a, and it's a large stereotype that is perpetuating here in Hollywood as it is right now. And I think a lot goes back to what an image of a director actually, when someone thinks of a director, and, you know, were you to ask children to draw a cartoon character, it'd probably be, you know, guy, T-shirt or whatever, what have you, maybe a baseball cap, something along those lines that are like on that set, in it with the actors. And it's interesting because I was watching the trailer for the series and it kicks off speaking about a film that was probably, I mean, after having watched it, came from a man's point of view. And that was entirely just based off watching the film. And it really goes to show you what is a man's point of view. Couldn't it be any human's point of view that had gone through the same circumstances?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about directing, and the interesting thing about this idea of perspective and point of view, is that when we put gender on it, it definitely does shade the way we look through the world. It's like glasses through which you look at the world, right? So Catherine Bigelow, who directed The Hurt Locker, from the interviews and the research that I've done, she's very interested in male violence. And so that's why her films are investigating that. Now, what if you look at sort of the narrative in a lot of, you know, major motion pictures, male violence has been a very strong theme in movies, certainly as, you know, far back as I can remember. But also men fighting against, you know, man versus man, right? And so she's also interested in that, so they have it in common. What did she bring to it that's female? I mean, one could say that it is a kind of a more sensitized perspective of how this man's inner life has affected his choices, right? So that is, however, looking at it, you know, when you put gender on top of the director. I mean, it's very hard, I think, for a lot of directors to not look through their own experience. It's the same thing with all artists, you know?
You're a part of it.
We're expressing from our own experience. But it doesn't mean that women can only tell stories about women or men can only tell stories about men. You know, that's and we tend to get really hung up on this issue of gender rather than investigating the issue of the artist, where they come from and what stories they feel compelled to tell.
Right, as a human being and what has shaped their experiences.
Exactly.
Thus so giving Sarah voice to whatever they produced, right?
Right. All of us are informed by our personal experiences. So Sarah Gavron, for example, in the series, she talks about how her grandmother was a German Jew, and she hid her identity. And then her mother, when it got revealed, became somebody who just refused to hide her identity, became very vocal, in fact, became a politician. And those two women's lives strongly affected Sarah Gavron's life. And she went on to make Suffragette and Brick Lane, all movies about women expanding out of prescribed role, taking risks, you know, changing and developing. So because of the intensity of her mother and her grandmother's experience, you know, she became compelled to tell these types of stories. So she's kind of in a kind of a direct, you know, the other side. There's, you know, Catherine Bigelow on one side in a way, and you could say that Sarah Gavron is a little bit on, you know, to the other end of the spectrum in terms of what her drive is, or what her influences
vision,
are, what the vision is, it's the stories that she wants to tell. But, you know, both of them are women, and both perspectives are extremely valuable, and they're both great storytellers. So I think the concept is that, you know, women can, that I'm trying to get, you know, across, is that women can tell any stories that they feel, you know, strongly inspired to tell. It's just a matter of who they are. And we as the audience have to look at that and consider their stories in light of what this artist, who happens to be female, wants to tell.
I love that that's the side note. And I'm huge on thinking and really just observing everything in the culture right now that's perpetuated, and thinking to myself, don't they really, like, if you really took a look, there'd be such radical differences from woman to woman than man to woman at most times that they'd have enough to keep busy with if they just looked at the differences within not only humanity, but within the female spectrum, because they're just human beings. And so you could have a more identical perspective with a man and a woman when looking at someone, you know, a female director who's directing something entirely different. So thank you for bringing this in, not only into this world, but really into Southern California. Connected Women of Influence is based in Southern California, and I know that you will be debuting at the Newport Beach Film Festival, right? You're an official selection?
That's right, which is really great. We're premiering April 25th. The block is a short film block starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Cinema Island Cinema 6, and we're the anchor film, and we'll have a little afterwards as well, which I'm very happy about. And all the films are directed by women. So it's a great opportunity for young filmmakers who are interested in this or looking for inspiration, or, you know, anyone who's interested in sort of exploring and finding out more about the voices and the artists that are coming out right now who happen to be female.
Absolutely. Wow. I might hop on to moderate that panel, because that sounds amazing.
God, I hope you come.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm there. It's funny, I've been so separated, and just after reading about the series and really what you've done right now, it's so necessary. So you're just a perfect guest. So let's get to know our guests a little bit more. Personally, you have acted, you have now created something for women and directed it, coincidentally, about female directors. Can you tell us about a time in your career trajectory that maybe wasn't going the way that you wanted, and how it is that you overcame that? Maybe it was something in your personal life that affected your career, or a huge rejection, or a no. But we want to hear about just the face plant, if you will, and how you really came out of that for anyone who might be sitting and listening and going through something.
Well, I've had many face plants, so this is not too difficult. although it may not, seem like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start with probably one of the earliest ones. I went to three different high schools, and I took the GED when I was 16 years old and left the third high school. And in my second high school, I started drinking heavily and partying, and I hit this wall where I realized I had a choice to make. I could either keep sliding down the path of being a rebel and acting out and just seeing how low the bottom would go, or I could just make the choice and say, no, I'm going to be responsible for my life and I'm going to accept the situation that my family's in and that I'm in, and I'm going to be proactive about it and make a proactive choice. And so at the time, my parents were divorced, and we were just sliding economically. And
yeah.
I had been a child actor, so a lot of the money that I had made as a child had all been spent, had all been, you know, used to keep the family afloat. And so now we were looking at, that began to dawn on me, I realized, oh my God, I've been the engine that's been generating survival for my family without my even knowing it. And so when I was 15, I decided to just embrace that fact. And my mom and I moved to Los Angeles, and I finished my semester of high school that got me through my junior year. And my mom, and this is the tipping point. My mom, we were really broke, and my mom took us to the welfare office and said, "I hear they give free money to artists here."
Right. There you go.
She was a smart lady, but she was not quite kind of figuring life out. And I turned to her and I said, "Mom, there is no way I'm accepting this money. There is no way we are doing this. We are so privileged just because we're white. And, you know, I'm young and you're educated. There's got to be a way that we can proceed." And so I just started going hardcore gung-ho at the acting business and, you know, kind of put away the feeling of like, oh, I should have, or, you know, oh, my life is so hard, you know, poor me. Seemed something that was so unnecessary and so unhelpful. And so that is, for some reason, I've always had that ability to go, you know what, just accept the suck and find the solution.
Yeah.
I love that. Right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've repeated that, even though, like, there's been times and various roles that I've had that have come to an end, which I didn't maybe not want them to come to an end, written out of, you know, TV shows and things like that. You know, I think the last time, you know, fast forwarding, I did a year on The Young and the Restless, and I really hoped that they would see what a good actress I was and put me on contract and I would have a regular gig again.
Naturally. Right.
Nope, that didn't happen. And instead they turned me into a kind of Kathy Bates crazy character, which I hated. And it just felt so demeaning because, you know, of course I was over 40, so I had no value. And, there I was going like, wow, how is this possible that after two Emmys and all my hard work, they don't value me for some reason. And that I spent a few months feeling like bad. And then again, I was just, you know what? I love directing. I want to direct. I can do this. I'm smart. I'm strong. I can drive this forward. And in order to do it, what do I need to find out about the women who have been successful and who have persevered despite the odds? I think I need to talk to them. And what else is going on? How can this coincide with, you know, what's happening in the world today and the voices that need to be supported? Oh, why don't I do a documentary about this? And that's how this all kind of came out of a faceplant, you know?
That's incredible. Yeah, faceplant entrepreneur, essentially. So, because you're not just building a docu. I mean, you have produced this beautiful piece of art, but really, you have raised the funds to produce this, to distribute this. It's now showing at the Newport Beach Film Festival. And what this really contributes to is a larger movement and cause for women. So congratulations, because big that this endeavor is really, really spans beyond that. I actually want to come back to a comment that you made about the age. You know, I'm over 40. I've lost the value. Recently, I was able to work with Sharon Waxman from The Wrap Hollywood, and we had a lot of actresses, political figures, tech entrepreneurs across the spectrum over by South by Southwest, and we were talking about this age thing. So we're going to come back to that, but we are just about a quarter through the show, and if our listeners would love to connect with you or find more about this docu-series, where can they go to find you?
Very easy. I'm all over Twitter, Katie McLean, C-A-D-Y.
I love it.
C-L-A-I-N. And I'm also on Instagram. I'm on Facebook under my name. So I'm really easy to find, and I handle, you know, a lot of my own social media. So I'm always checking what people say and responding. But I'm also, if they want to read about me on my website, again, katiemclean.com, or the series is seeingisbelievingwomendirect.com. Super easy.
Awesome. So that's seeingisbelievingwomendirect.com, and then connect with Miss Katie on Twitter. Website's great, but Twitter's a lot more fun. So why don't you go follow Miss Katie, see what she's up to on Instagram and Twitter. Awesome.
Perfect.
So yeah, so circling back, you started as an actress, which is a perfect perspective to get this false, I mean, I'm just saying it's false because that's what we'd love to live into, this false notion that your value is over after 30 or after 40. And there's so many women in business, not even, you know, touching the skirt of the entertainment industry, which is a little ruthless at times, but really going through it and battling this process that's actually living. It's life. Aging is literally living. And that's what gets me every single time, because it's so beautiful to grow with that. And I've made this commitment. I am a millennial, but I've made this commitment for age to just be this unstigmatized subject in my life, with my clients' lives, with the people that I'm interviewing. And I've really lived into that. A lot of my mentors, my colleagues, and my associates have been repetitively 20 years, at least 20 years my senior. I have a book out. My partner is I think he's in his 50s now. Kyle's going to kill me if he's in his 40s. However, not only that, but I was able to work in radio for so long. And the reason that I think I got this corporate marketing director spot at age 22 was because in college, I aligned myself with the executives that I saw, you know, male, female, across the spectrum. But I really went to the people who I had figured had lived, and I just treasure that so much that when I hear, you know, your value is over, how can women who are in this process of living, right? I hate the word aging, but who are in this process of living, flip that switch and maybe take a different, a different point of view on it, or gain some insight into why this is so great. Like, this, you are in the process of your life, and it should be valued as you go, not as you begin.
Well, I think you're doing the exactly right thing, which is disagreeing with the concept. And I think that's sort of first and foremost.
Right.
And then there's an aspect of committing to be, you know, vocally disagreeing and living your life as if you disagree. Because when we agree to a wrong idea, we become complicit in the presentation and the allowing that idea to continue to live, all right, to exist.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that the fact is that the paradigm of power is heavily skewed male, which is what people call the patriarchal society. But it's
right.
Now the balance of power is heavily skewed male. That doesn't mean that females are powerless or that we have to agree to that paradigm. I think, you know, vocally disagreeing and living your life as if you disagree with that paradigm is really the only way forward, you know, and not just sort of giving up and throwing on the moo-moo and saying, screw it, you know.
Exactly.
I'm just going to disappear and go live my life in the woods and, you know, that's the end of me.
Got it. Yeah,
I'm
going to retreat. Yeah, life has ended. Exactly.
Right.
Interesting. And what I'm hearing is, really, if you take a stance in any direction, one way or the other, on any subject or topic, the importance of making that real in some way, shape, or form, rather than keeping it to yourself, where it might disintegrate, die, or be easily influenced by the outside, bringing it to life in your art or in your business or even your conversations, when
right.
you have that belief, will tip the scale
yeah.
and change the way
I
we're
think
thinking
so.
About it.
Mm-hmm. Because
Got
when
it.
You see, like, a successful woman who's over 40, who's still embracing her sexuality, embracing her voice, who's, you know, active in the world, and who's just accepting of the truth of who she is and living that truth, most of the people go, huh, how about that? Look at that. And they think, wow, that's great. They don't go, they don't try. Some people try to shut her down because they're just jealous. But most people just think, wow, that's so cool that she's just being herself and being full of life and, you know, full of verve, you know, full of her female strength and enjoying it. You know, I'm not a big fan of like pushing it things in people's faces or like, you know, women rock and men suck. Like, no.
Yes. That's so refreshing. Right.
I'm a viva la différence kind of person. I'm like, you know, whatever you write, men are great, women are great, yay. And I'm also into this concept, right, of power sharing, right? So women aren't trying to take the power from men so we can be Amazons and rule the world and they can be our slaves. You know,
exactly.
Ridiculous, oh right? Who wants a groveling dude, right? No, you want him to be in his power, and you want to be in your power, right? Equals. It's equals.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about.
That masculine, feminine spectrum, and it has really nothing to do with gender. It's just this concrete and abstract blend that a human being benefits from. I feel that that's how growth happens with both genders, but really it's human beings, and I'm very into the concept of already empowered women helping humanity, and that's the stance, rather than, you know, we have to empower each other and ourselves. However, we're half of the equation of what the world is made up of, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not that. Gosh, this time has flown by. I could pick your brain forever. Thank you for joining us this morning, but I'd like to finish on a question regarding this beautiful project. Congratulations for bringing it to life. And a lot of women, particularly who might have 9-to-5 or are in business or, you know, doing this from Connected Women of Influence or otherwise, have projects that they're passionate about, whether that's on the side, whether that's during the day, but it's sort of the daydream versus the day job. What advice would you have to making to really bring those projects to life, and what moves could they make right now to it not just being the fantasy or the daydream, but really bringing it to life the way you did with Seeing is Believing, Women Direct?
You know, I'm a very practical person, and whenever I see something that's like a dream, that's like, seems like, oh, if only I could have a condo in Hawaii, you know, I'm like, well, like, break it down, you know what I mean? Like, get practical about it. Do you, and it's also funny, right? Just break it down. What is it going to take? How much money do you need? What do you have to do to get that money? You know, why do you want to be there? You know, be positive about what you want. What are the practicalities around that? Like, just get real. Like, that's my, you know, or so you want to be a CEO of a company. Well, what kind of company? Why do you want to do that? Who do you know that's doing that? That's one of the biggest things. Find people who are doing what you want to do and study everything they did to get there.
Right. Yes.
I mean,
gotcha.
That's
practicality. And it's so funny. It's one of those stereotypes that, you know, women, it's like, often there's this fluttery feeling. And it's not really the equivalent to execution. And the advice that you just gave was, no, it was a very practical stance on reverse engineering, whatever it is that you want to accomplish. Put it down on paper or it's nowhere. You can't achieve that which you can't actually see. So
right.
Love
and
that.
It's always small steps. It's always baby steps, you know? You can't get from A to Z in one day. You have to think, this is going to take me a year. This could take me 5 years. But think, I also do this. Sometimes I go for walks and I come up with an imaginary grandmother and I talk to my imaginary great, good, warm, loving grandmother, and she gives me this perspective of an encouragement. She says things like, well, imagine if you 5 years from now, if you practice guitar every single day, in 5 years you would be amazing. All you have to do is do it today for an hour, half an hour, do a little bit at a time.
I love her.
So coming up with your own inner gentle encouragement system to help you get one day at a time moving towards your goal, I think that's really important, because beating yourself up or like you know, being hard on yourself. You want to be disciplined and do it, but you also need to encourage yourself to get up off the sofa, you know, and bring yourself with love to whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish.
I love that. So everyone, imaginary mentors, develop your system and then make it tangible, bring it to life. Thank you, Ms. Katie McLean's advice for moving forward on the passion project. Thank you, Katie. I'd like to say thank you for joining us and being our leading lady today. And a special thanks to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next Monday morning with another Women Lead radio show. I'm Erica Dela Cruz, host of Boss Babes, behind the scenes of entertainment. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.